August 17th, 1974. Mrs. Clementine Zmurkiewicz, interviewed by Randall Dix.
Is this such a little mark?
But it works well. First of all, Mrs. Zmurkiewicz, when and where were you born?
I was born in Dunjov, a little village near Lvov. And it belonged then to Austria. Well, that's it.
Who were your parents? And what did your father do?
Well, my parents owned a factory and a farm near Lvov.
Had they always lived there?
Yes.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Oh yes, we were big family. I am the 10th child, from the youngest one in the family.
Where did you go to school?
I went to the high school and to the University of Lvov, where I obtained master's degree in law.
When did you obtain your degree in law?
In 1934. I graduated with a master's degree.
What do you remember of the period when that part of the Ukraine belonged to Austria?
It belonged at this time to Poland. Mm-hmm.
No, but before?
Oh, not much. Really, not much, because I just... Well, all I remember when Austria fell, and I was still a young girl, so the money lost all value, and I would cut out the 1,000 crowns, money. I would cut out the pictures of the queens and kings that were on that and play with them. This is it. They lost all value, money, Austrian money.
And what about after the war? What do you remember about?
After the war, I remember sometimes it was hard because everything was destroyed. As you know, Lvov was the place of many battles. And for example, in the house of my parents, my father died when I was 3 years old, so I don't remember much. But anyway, in the house of my mother, all furniture was destroyed. I remember very exactly how they furnished it after the war. And then came the Polish mark, and it also was losing its value so much that we paid in millions and that they paid in millions and so on for bread. And later it somehow everything was put in order, we got a new money. And, well, what else in particular would you like to know?
What were the changes when that part of the Ukraine became part of Poland?
Well, you see, I still didn't participate very much in this event, but my older brothers and sisters, we fought. Ukrainian people wanted independence and autonomy and so on. So there were some fights among Polish people and Ukrainian people, but well, so it was.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Difficult for the Ukrainians under Polish rule?
Well, I tell you one thing, that maybe the people had too many demands at this time. They didn't understand each other very well, and they didn't know what was coming. and that a real problem was coming from all of us, as well for Ukrainian people as the Polish people, because Soviet government is very, as you know, although they call themselves Democrats, but they are the greatest imperialists that you can imagine. They can tolerate anything, anybody who doesn't agree with them. It is exactly as Mayakovsky, if you know the name, famous communist poet who finished with the suicide. But in the beginning he was very pro-Soviet. And he wrote in his poems, who is not with us, he's against us. So he believed in the early 20s, but he finished his life with the suicide. So there were expectations, there were disappointments, and so on. But perhaps I say the people wanted too much. And this is why it was happening. But it would have been so much better for both nations, Polish and Ukrainian, if they understood better each other from the beginning. And maybe they would be nowadays in better position, and we also. We have Ukraine, they have Poland, and so many Polish people are here, and so many
What was it like to go to the university at this time?
That's wonderful.
Were many people going? Was it possible to go?
Well, we had to pay. The fee relatively was high. But there were always subsidies for the talented students who could pay after they had finished university and got some positions. They could pay back the fees that was paid for them, and so on. And I think the degree of learning was very high. We had very good teachers at the university that wrote several books that were translated in all languages. For example, Professor Balzer, one of the law professors at the university, Jan Kazimierz University in Lwów. His books were translated into all European languages. As well, we had Professor Ehrlich of the international law also. He was known in all Western Europe. I would say that our teachers really were very good and learned people with high degree of experience, and it was not enough, for example, to have only degree. You had to have a good literary or scientific work behind you to become a real professor at the university. Now, if you are surprised what it slams, it is the draft. I like the chair, but perhaps I shut the door, excuse me, because it's a draft.
When you graduated from the university, then did you practice law?
Yes, I started. I started practice. You see, we had 3 years. We had to have 3 years court practice, so-called as applicants or practitioners. You know, to practice law at law, where we went through all departments of the court, and afterwards we were submitted to a board exam. After we made this board exam, we could get nomination for a judge. Or, if we prefer... No, I'm sorry, another door. Oh, yeah. And get a nomination for a judge, or we could leave the court and still make 2 years additional practice at an attorney at law office, and then make attorney's court exam and be admitted to the bar and practice the law. So I started my practice at the court, and then the war broke out in 1939, and my practice was interrupted when the German occupied this territory. They suspended all board exams, and so I just couldn't become what I wanted. Had to finish it with the practice.
What do you remember about the beginning of the war?
Beginning of the war, I was in Radom. My husband was judge then in Radom. I married my husband who was a judge. And I was practicing. And you see, being in Radom, this was territory that was occupied by the Germans. Russians didn't get that far. It is close to Warsaw. And I didn't see the Russians at all. My husband was drafted as Polish. Where did I finish?
The beginning of the war.
The beginning of the war, as I say, my husband was drafted. He was by the Polish army. Then he got into the German prison of war, and he returned home after a year. And, Germans occupied this territory. They reorganized the courts. They created so-called Sondergerichts, special courts, German courts, and for Polish courts, where I worked, Polish courts activity was restricted only to some common crimes and misdemeanors. But all people who declared themselves to be Volksdeutschen, it means that they are of German nationalities, because there were many. They belong to the Sondergericht, the German courts, and also special crimes like treason and the things like that. It was all restricted only for the German courts. And naturally, Polish courts were under the strict supervision of the German courts all the time during the occupation. I finished my practice and I started working in the special department for the translation of allen Sachen. How to say it? We just would read all this court. How do you call it in English? You have something going in for trial or something. It is not trial. I wouldn't tell you. I started working as interpreter, translating the translating the all complaints and so on into German, and German court decided which comes to the Polish court and which comes to the German court. And so it is.
What were the changes in everyday life?
In everyday life, well, in the beginning, there was there wasn't so much change, but later on everybody felt lack of food. And of course there were some political arrests. And the battles or the fighting itself, it wasn't remarkable because Radom wasn't located in such place that the battles were going on, you know. In Warsaw there was much fighting, and Warsaw was very much destroyed. I, for example, was in Warsaw in the first week after the Polish army fell, because I got a letter to a soldier from my husband that he was taken prisoner, he will be in Częstochowa, so if you could come with some maybe and ask them, they perhaps would let me go. But I was too late. I was going to Częstochowa. We took a car, and so on. All these many adventures. But I was too late. But anyhow, it wouldn't have helped anything, because they just wouldn't. Took all prisoners to Germany, and they worked in the fields and kept them in the so-called stalags or oflags, depending if somebody was an officer or common soldier. The difference in the life, well, there was a remarkable difference in the life, sure. Pretty soon we start feeling the lack of everything, of food and so on.
Were there many arrests?
Yes, mostly as well. There were some arrests, of course, all Jews, even those who were who accepted Christianity, who were baptized and so on. Because in Poland there was a little bit also, you know, if you wanted to be a judge recently, so you had to change your religion also. So all of those were removed in the first week from court, dismissed. And later, well, they were arrested, taken to the camps. You know all what most of the time happened to them.
And how long were the Germans there?
Well, the Germans came there in 1939, I believe by the end of September or October. Then, after the war broke out between Germany and Russia, you see, Germans were until 45 there, 1945. They divided the whole territory in the governments, in the so-called gubernatorial districts. And so it was until they lost the war. Mm-hmm. Because after the, when the war broke out among, between Germany and Russia, they moved forward toward the east. So this territory belonged all the time to, was under the German occupation.
And what happened in 1945?
Well, frankly speaking, I just escaped to Vienna in time. My husband had to stay. I had family in Vienna. I escaped a little bit sooner. And I started working in Vienna. And you see, then my husband joined me. So I also didn't see these last days, how it looked like.
How did you get to Vienna? Was it a difficult trip at that
point? Well, I had family in Vienna. They provided for me for an employment in Vienna. And on this ground, I received a passport. And, I knew German, and I took a course in German shorthand and typing and German shorthand, and I received a job in Vienna as a stenotypist in a secretary. So I really didn't see very much of all this. I could tell you more how it looked like when Americans were occupying the Germany. Mm-hmm. Then I was in the middle of all this fighting and so on.
What was it like then?
Yeah. It wasn't too rosy, because I tell you one thing, there was so much bombing, and we civilians, we were in the middle of the front lines. We didn't know who is... We could have been shot equally by Americans as by Germans. Civilian population suffered very, very, very much. Because, you see, the army and military, they could at least defend themselves. And the civilians, just if you were lucky, you survived. If you were not, you were killed.
Mm-hmm. When did you come to the United States?
Oh, I came in 1950 to the United States. Because I got sick, and my family, they could come here sooner, but I got sick, and until I recovered completely, they wouldn't let you come to the United States. But they organized IRO and AMRA before them, these organizations, if you are familiar with them. They organized very good sanitariums and hospitals for us, and they really took very good, very nice and very good care of us. So you could get well, but it took time, so this is why I came later than all my family. All my family, they came here in 48 already.
What can you tell me about national feelings in the Ukraine? How did that change under the Austrians, and under the Poles, and under Germany?
Well, I tell you one thing, that I can admire my people, that going through so many hardships and governments and so on, they still persist, and they still exist, and they still don't lose, are not losing their identity. It is something really that sometimes it is hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Must be very difficult.
I don't know what unites them, but they are there, they were there, and always, always they are showing that they are here. That they did not perish as a nation.
What about Ukrainians who have left the Ukraine, who are in this country, for example? Do they keep up the old traditions and language?
Those who came lately, they do keep. And to some extent, still the children do keep. But I tell you one thing, that this strong American influence, it makes its progress among our people, and I don't know, I don't want to judge it if it is good or bad, but in my opinion, second, third generation, they will hardly remember who they were. Maybe they will still have some picture or nice embroidery and say, my ancestors, they came from Ukraine, you know, but the majority, they marry, intermarriages and so on, they go to schools and you see, it is natural. Every nation, I think that in America, this process of developing of a strong and united American people is going on, and it is inevitable, mm-hmm. and it is good for America as such. I think so, because you see, there are so many dangers for us, and if Americans won't be united as Americans, as one people really united who are having the same feelings and who don't get divided, when, for example, the fatherland of this group fights against the fatherland of this group, and then, you know, there is collision of interests. It is to some extent dangerous for a nation to exist.
When you were young, what was the feeling? Did you, living in the Ukraine,
yes.
under Poland, feel
yes,
that you were...
Yes, I attended Ukrainian high school, gymnasium as we called it, in Lvov, and our lives were pretty much separated, you see, we kept to ourselves and the Polish kept themselves.
So you felt as though you were Ukrainian and not part of Poland?
Definitely, definitely. For example, the school dances also, you know, everything separated. And the Polish didn't seek the, you know, to any, didn't look for any approaches just to unite together with us. Maybe it was, they were more in the position to do so than we were. But as far as I remember, in gymnasium, always separate for me. And also at the university, we kept in our groups. They would keep separated from us. The Jews would keep separated from everybody, you know, and so it was.
Did people think or hope that the Ukraine would someday be independent?
Now you see, we are already Ukraine, but the events and everything and the ideas about how Ukraine should be, they are changing so much. It is hard to predict what will be the wish of my people in 50 years. One thing I know, they want their identity, you know, mm-hmm. and they are not losing their identity. In spite of such pressures as they are living through now, so many were deported to Siberia and so on. I can only tell you what I hear from others, because I'm telling you I never saw them. But in spite of that, there is this feeling of being Ukraine nation and to being something different from Russians or from the others. And it is not as easy as somebody perhaps would wish or could think that it is to say, no, they are all international. It is not true. It is not true because there are these differences among the peoples, and they feel it and they live it through. And no matter what some sociologist will write in his book, that nowadays all Soviet people feel like one, it is a lie. It always will be a lie for anyone who has been there and who has seen by his own eyes how it is. It is just like existing colors. This is red, this is white, this is yellow. So are the nations. You can't say there are no differences because it won't be. Something keeps them together. They feel differently. They are somewhat different. You don't have to be black and white to be different. There is something more than that that still differentiates the people.
What do you think are the most common misunderstandings about Ukraine, about the period of history we've been talking about? Do you think people know much about non-Ukrainians, do you think they know much about the Ukraine, about what has happened in the last 60 years?
Pardon me, I don't understand your question.
Well, do you think people in this country understand much about the Ukraine? Do you think they are aware that the Ukraine has passed from Austria and Russia to Poland and Germany and back to the Soviet Union? People understand this? Are they aware of it?
Well,
or do they think that
maybe
all
some
of Russia
specialists, maybe some specialists do understand. The majority, they are not interested in these questions at all.
You think for most people
Russia think
is Russia?
Russia is Russia, and besides, does it matter?
That makes it all the more difficult for the Ukrainians to preserve.
Well, it is. I don't know what makes more difficult, because one thing I will tell you, that well, maybe I should stop at that. One thing I can tell you, yes. The people are too busy in America to be interested in these problems. Maybe these are the problems too far away. They are not immediately, you know, concerned with, and it is only natural. They just believe everything what Times write or somebody, some newspaper or some magazine. New York Times, although they have some good articles sometimes. They are pretty good informed in those things. Sometimes.
Well, I don't want to take more of your time. Thank you very much.